Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Chulin Daf Nun Gimel. We are holding 10 lines off the Tam of the Amid back to the Sugya of Derusa, an animal that was clawed, that was attacked. It is considered a treifa, Rashi explains, due to the zihara, the venom injected by the attacker, which trickles into the animal and can be lethal. Today we're going to shift gears and discuss birds, birds of prey. Bayravashi, Shar Oifis Tmei. Any other of the non-kosher birds. Very interesting that he's relating to kosher or non-kosher as a factor at play in determining whether he's going to render his victim a drusa, a treifa. Very interesting. So in the Mishnah we learn about the nates, which is a hawk. We learn about the gas, which some learn to be a falcon. Those certainly have the venom phenomenon, and their attack is deemed lethal. And interesting that we're connecting it to Tummy and Torg, perhaps based on the Ramban and Chumash, who explains in great length that the directives in the Torah regarding eating kosher animals, kosher fish, kosher bird, he says it's based on the fact that these creatures have a purer nature. So when a person ingests this material, you are what you eat. You pretty much adopt, you incorporate some elements of the animal's personality, so to speak, of its character traits. So if it's a kosher bird, which is generally more gentle, more placid, kinder, and then one eats that, he connects to that concept, to the concept of Tahara, but contrast to the Eifes HaTmeim, the non-kosher animals, which tend to be of the more violent type. So keeping away from that, keeping a distance from that, protects a person from connecting to those traits. So we find that the non-kosher birds are more vicious, more prone to attack. Birds of prey, right? Those are non-kosher birds, birds of prey. So Sharev is Tmei Neshlem Drusa and then Drusa. Other birds, other non-kosher birds, If they attack, is their victim considered a Drusa or not? Yeshlem Drusa and then Drusa. So what about the other birds of prey? Amalei Rav Hillel Ravashi. When we had spent time in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, Amar, he told us, Shar Oifes Tmei Neshlem Drusa. Sure, it's not limited to the nates or to the gas. All these are considered birds of prey and are assumed to have the same abilities to inject their venom into their prey, and their attack is deemed lethal. Says the Gemara. But look at our Mishnah, which refers to only two types. What about the rest? We learned in the Mishnah, Drusas HaNeitz, Weif HaDak. A light bird, a pigeon, or whatever, that was attacked by a nate. It's called a Drusa. Again, the word Drusa means that the attack is deemed lethal. Rashi explains, due to the venom that's injected, which lethalizes its victim. So only the nates. And then we have, why are we adding more? The Mishnah seems to limit it to the nates only, says the Gemara. No, the Mishnah is not limited. The Mishnah means like this: Drusas HaNeitz B'Chavasei. A neitz can only impact a bird which is of similar size, so of the same class. So, despite the fact that he's on the same level, the neitz is considered ferocious to the point that he can actually threaten him. But the other birds of prey, they certainly can make a drusa, provided that they're attacking a bird which is a bit smaller, on a lower class than themselves. But they can't do the same to a bird of similar ilk. Bigadamri, there's another version of this teretz. Drusa sanates b'derabim inay. Actually, a nates can threaten a bird even greater than himself, bigger than himself. He has that ability. But the other birds of prey are limited to the ones that are equal to them. In any case, all birds of prey are created equal, more or less. Amar of Kanam Shmei Derav, Simi Barashi, Ein Drusa L'Shul, but not a fox. A fox attacks, there's no venom, there's no drusa. Ain't he really? V'okiyosu Rav Dimi Amar, he told us a story. So Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he told us Masa, there was a story, V'daras Shul. A fox attacked a Rachel, a female sheep. V'merachat Shul Beisini, this place called Merachat, the bathhouse of Beisini. No, v'mas mechachamim. Story was presented to chachamim. What do we do with the animals? It's a treifa. V'amr yesh drusa. They said, of course, it's a drusa. Amr of safra. That wasn't a fox. Hay chasil hava. The fox is busy strategizing. He doesn't have tie. He doesn't have venom. He's not busy with venom. He doesn't need venom to accomplish his task. It was a chasil, good old cat that we discussed yesterday. Hay chasil hava. There was another version of this halacha. Amar Rav Kahana, Meshmeid Rav Sim Bar Isha, Ashi Yeish Drusa L'Shul. Even a fox can make a drusa. Eini, is that so? Okay. Also, Rav Dimi, we have the story that he came. He told us Amar Maase V'Doras Shul Rachel B'Merachat Shabbes Hini. The Rachel was attacked by the Shul in this place. Uba Maase V'Nechacham V'Am Nechacham ruled Ein Drusa. There's no drusa issue. Amar Rav Safra, you know why? Because it wasn't a fox, it was a dog. Hokelavava was a dog, and a dog certainly doesn't make drusa. Amr Rav Yisrael Nachtina, and drusa bekelakelav. Yeah, we have a Kabbalah tradition from our rabbeim that a dog does not make a drusa. Amr Abayi Nachtina. What else do we know about drusa? What kinds of rules? And drusa lebiyad. Drusa is only when the animal attacked using his front arm, his hand. That's where he has the venom, producing mechanism. La fuki regular as opposed to clawing using his back, his hind legs. Number two, ain drusa elabit sapir. Drusa is only if he uses his actual claws to claw the animal. That's where the venom comes. La fuka shein delay, as opposed to simply using his teeth. Ain drusa elabit das. Drusa is only if the attacker was aware, was cognizant of the fact that he's attacking. Then the venom is an issue. La fuka shein delay, as opposed to if it happened without his knowledge, Deloy. For instance, he tripped off the roof and his claws ended up in the other animal. And Drusel Mechaim, Drus is only when the attacker is alive during the attack. Lavka Lacham is Deloy as opposed to after death. There's no venom being produced. Says the Gemara, Amri, so some asked on this. I mean, isn't this a redundancy? I mean, you say you need cognizance. Of course, he has to be alive. Hashta Shleim Das, Amri Slo, you told me Shleim Das. It's not an issue. Obviously, if he dies, of course. What's the point of it? Letzricha must be speaking like this. He was alive when he inserted. Letzricha the Doris. He did drisa. And while in there, Pasculiade, they quickly chopped off his hand. While his nails were embedded in his victim. Maudetame, perhaps I can think. Too late. Bahadi the Doris. Shadi Ziere. The Ziere, its venom was dispatched, was shoddy by the doors as he attacked, as he made contact, and it's too late to save the victim. Kamashman, the point is no. It doesn't happen then. It happens on his way out. But how did the shalif, when he pulls out, shoddy zero, that's when he dispatches his venom. And since his hand was chopped off, the animal's hand was removed, was severed prior to this, to pulling back, prior to this engagement, there's no issue of venom. Amar Rav Barafuna, Amar Rav. Let's picture this. You have a corral full of cows, full of shvarim, oxen, bulls, and a lion shows up for a visit. Ari shenichnas bin ashvar. The lion showed up amongst the shvarim. V'nimtza tzipor, and nobody was there to watch to see what happened. Whether he attacked, whether he clawed, v'nimtza tzipern, begabesh lechem, you find, come back, you find a tzipern, a lion nail, fingernail, embedded in one of the animal's backs. Okay, so what happened? Was he attacked? Was he not? Ein choshishin. Surprise, we're not choshish. Ein choshish shama aridor. So we're not going to concern ourselves with the possibility that perhaps he was attacked by the lion. Why? Why? It's a lion's claw. My time of why. Look, percentage wise, if we entertain all probabilities here, all factors here, we'll see. There's no substantiation for considering him a treifa. My time. Reva reyes durs. Look, for the most part, lions attack. Okay, so 51% are in. But umiyutin ein durson. 49% do not attack. You know, animal is noise. A lion is noise hungry. You know, they once read that a lion is actually very compassionate relative to his abilities to be otherwise, and he'll only kill if he doesn't. If he's really desperate, he can go days and in hunger, and he'll lay off until he's just totally exasperated. Can't find any other source. Can't find the carcass. Whatever. So. It's not a sure thing that he'll attack, right? 49% are assumed not to be attackers. Now, within the 51% that do, b'chol adoris ein tziporna nishmetes. The assumption is nails don't just pop off of lions' hands, right? Because in this case, in this animal here, hoyel b'tziporna yoshevus le'begabi, since you discovered this nail on his back, let's assume it was not from the lion. Eima b'kos l'schachech. Maybe the cow was scratching himself against the wall, and on the wall there was a lion's claw because the lion was there, and you know something, you know, got stuck in the wall. So he got it that way; it wasn't directly transferred from the lion to his back. So the animal's the cow was kosher. Adarab says the Gemara, if anything, go the other way. We can sort of shift the. You know, the balance of factors here, and then end up with a problem. Roiv shvarim mischachachin. You're right. 51% of shvarim scrape their backs against the walls. Umiyutin mischachachin. A minority do not. 49 do not. Chol mischachachin tzipurin yoshevus le'begabai. Typically, a scratcher doesn't end up with a nail on his back. It's unlikely. V'zeh, and this cow, hoyel v'tzipurin. Since there's a tzipor in his back, let's assume it came from the lion. Emar will say aridarsi was attacked by the lion, so you can go both ways. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ikalamemahachi, you can go this way, you can go that way. The balance of probabilities are sort of equalized, and therefore ukimilsa chazaka. What are we doing? We don't know. Chazaka, we leave something in its prior state, and in this case, the bull was kosher until today. We leave it that way. Havle Safek Drusa. Here's your classic case of a Safek Drusa, an uncertainty regarding Drusa. Rav Latame, Rav follows his opinion. The Amar who says, Ein Choshen Safek Drusa, not concerned about Safek Drusa. So even though there's some evidence, but evidence is pointing in all directions. And therefore, the Shoyer is considered to be kosher. Amar Abayi says Abayi Lo Yamar. When do we discount the possibility of the attack? El Tzipurin, when it's just the Tzipurin, the nail itself, which could have come through a different medium. Avol Malkim Tzipurin Choshishin. If you find just the nail mark on the back of the animal, then we'll choshish that in fact, he's a drusa, and we consider it to be a problem. Says the Gemara, with Zipur Nami Lo Yamar Ela Lachat, even if it's just the detached nail, in that case, we say it's okay because it came, chances are it came from the wall. That's only Lo Yamar Ela Lachat, if it's a moist, fresh nail, which Rashi says contains some traces of blood, which we assume didn't simply, detach off the animal's claws, and it came about through some other medium when the animal, the lion, scraped himself against the wall, and that ended up detaching his nail, which ended up on the animal's back of the Yavesha. But if it's a dried out nail, which could have just shed from the lion while attacking the cow of the Mishtamta, that's likely to have detached during the attack, right? So in this case, we should attribute it to the attack, to the clawing, and the animal's a trefa. Even when we say that the fresh nail on the back is not indicative of attack, that's only a lochada when it's a single nail, which makes it, you know, unlikely that it came from directly from the lion. I will tie to it last, but if you find a series of fingernails on the back of the animal embedded in the back, two or three chayshinon here, it's so unlikely that the cow got it from the wall. Rather, it shed during the actual attack. Provided the nails are lined up, the kaime they're situated bedora in a line, in a configuration which matches the animal's palm, his claws. In this case, you have to be choshesh for drusa. Okay, itma. Now we have learned further on this topic. Rav Omar ein choshesh in the safek drusa. If there is merely a suffix that the animal was attacked, we're not choshesh. Now in a minute we'll see exactly what circumstance we're talking about. Shmuel Amar, yes, choshesh in the suffix drusa. Even if it's a suffix, there's room for concern that in fact it's a trefa. You have to examine the animal, see if there are any marks, any venom, traces of venom. Okay. Now, what are we talking about? What is the context of our discussion? The Kuliyamun all agree, both Rav and Shmuel, that if it's merely a speculation, suffix al, the lion enter the corral, suffix loyal, did he stay out of the corral? We're not even sure if he entered. Hey, maloyal! In this case, we can just conclude that it didn't happen. We have no reason, no evidence that he entered. Let's assume no attack happened. Next case, suffix kalba, suffix shunra. We know there was some attack, but was it perpetrated by a dog, which doesn't have the drisa capabilities, as we said before? Suffix shunra, perhaps it was a cat, which can make drisa under certain circumstances. So since we're not sure, ema kalba, again, we'll assume the best. We'll assume that, in fact, it was just a dog, and it's okay. Al, suppose we have the lion right in here. Shosik, he's quiet. He doesn't seem agitated. He's not roaring. V'isu b'nai, you're sitting amongst them quietly like good friends. Once again, we can safely assume that things are okay. Eimar, we can say, shlama shavi. They made peace with each other. Sometimes, animals can be domesticated, and even an animal of prey. On the other hand, one of the cow's heads was severed. So actually, it helps us. We assume that the lion had a calming effect on him. He came in for the attack, he did his thing, and now he's calm. And the other ones are safe and sound, and we're not affected by his presence. Ihu kama avoy. Suppose he's roaring. He's making himself be heard. He's expressing threatening sounds. V'inu kamakarkar, and the other animals are moaning and screeching. Once again, it doesn't mean there was an attack. Perhaps they're just preparing. They're just confronting each other. V'yusi, they're scaring each other away. V'yusi kamavasi adadi, they're just scaring each other off. And in fact, it never happened yet. Return time in days. Kipligi. So in all these cases, halacha is pretty clear. We're good. Ki plig the machlokes is only the iyuka shasik v'inuka makarkar. Yeah, the lion is sitting quietly, and the other behemoths and the cows are yelling and screeching. So the question is, what happened? Mar savar masakavadu. Shmuel says the reason why this is going on is because he attacked them, and they're all screeching out of fear because he already attacked one of them, and we're not sure which one. So, Umar Savar, Rab says, no, we're just at the fear stage. Machas bi susay the ka'avdan. The reason why the ka'avdan are reacting this way is because of the grip by fear, bi susay, because of fear of the attacker. But in actuality, doesn't mean anything happened. Umar Memra, so what's the halacha in this type of case? Halacha sa choshesh and safek drusa. We go like Shmuel, we bank on the worst, and we assume there was a drisa, and we treat it accordingly. Amar le Rav Ashla Meimar. But doesn't Rav disagree? hide the Rav, Rav's opinion, who says it's okay, Mayu, how do you relate to Rav's opinion? Omar Lee says, Lishmieli, I haven't heard it. Kalei Mei Misa say, of course he heard it. It means, Lishmieli, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with Rav. Sometimes people say, no, I don't hear it. It doesn't mean physically he didn't hear it. It means he hasn't internalized it, he hasn't accepted it. The Bayi say another way to explain this. Why Shmuel Paskin, like Amemer went with Shmuel, that we assume the worst, because Hodabe Rav Lagabe Shmuel. Truth is that Rav conceded to Shmuel, he reverted to Shmuel's opinion, and in this type of case, we're Cheshish for a treif. As we find the following story, that who Sharkefa, the story about this basket full of birds, kosher birds, but they were Suffolk, the Suffolk Drusus, there was a question whether they were a claw, they were attacked, and whether they're a treifa. It was a shayla, we weren't sure, and it was presented to Rav, Dosal Kameh the Rav, to rule on them. Shadrun Kameh the Shmuel. So Rav refused to rule on it, and he sent it over to Shmuel for his opinion. What did Shmuel do? Chankinu, he choked them, he killed them. Shadrun Benar threw him into the river, so nobody eats it. Now this is the Suffolk Drusa. If Rav did not concede to Shmuel, and he held his ground that a Suffolk Drusa is presumed to be okay, so why didn't he just permit the basket? Why did he send it to Shmuel? Lishrinu. No, Elamai Hadarbe. So according to you, he changed his mind, so why didn't he just prohibit it? Why did he have to send it to Shmuel? Lishrinu. Elo, the answer is like this. No, Rav maintained his opinion, personally, but this story occurred Asrei the Shmuel Hav, it was Shmuel's place, it was in the Hardo, where Shmuel was the Rav, and out of deference to the Rav, he didn't want to rule to permit it, and he sent it to Shmuel. Okay, Asrei Shmuel Hav, Lama Liv Chakin. Okay, so Shmuel got it and he choked him. Why do you have to do that? L'shdinu Hachav Nahar, just throw it into the river the way they are. Well, Ma'afrachan V'Salkan, they'll fly away and do their own thing, and a Jewish trapper might find them and eat them. Okay, another solution. Why don't you just wait it out for 12 months and see if it lives the year, which a treifa can't, and that will prove its status. The answer is usibul itakol. If you leave them around long enough, eventually somebody's going to eat them unknowingly. So you don't want to get to that type of chance. It's also a guy. You can eat a treifa. Well, Asul is of Ninu Li Stroh. There's a concern the guy will turn on Sal Tayyid and might eat it, not realizing that it's a treifa. One more question. Fine, you have to kill them, but throw them into the dump. Why into the river? With Tamech, according to you, Nishdinu L'Klom, give them to the dogs. Ela L'Persum Milsa D'Issur. The reason why he did it in this grand fashion, he wanted to make a tumult, a fanfare, so that people realize that it's publicized. People understand that a Suffolk treifa is Asur. Here comes another story about a Suffolk treifa. Hubar Avza, there was this little duck, the Hava Bay, which was in the household of Ravashi. Ala Bay Kani took a walk amongst the reeds, and it comes back all injured. Nafak also, he came along, came in Masmes Kuei, with his neck, Masmes, full of blotched with dumma, with blood. So what happened? Was it just a work accident, or did he get involved with some bird of prey, whatever? Amar Avashi, lo yamrina safek kalba safek shunra emar kalba. Didn't we say earlier when there's uncertainty as to the identity of the attacker? Was it a dog who's benign, a cat who can make drusa? We're not sure. What do we say? Emar kalba. We assume it was just a dog. Chanamir as well. Safek kanya safek shunra. We're not sure whether he encountered the reeds and got hurt like that, or was it actually an attack by a shunra, by a lion? Emer kanya mache. Let's assume, let's hope for the best that he was struck by the reed. He'll recover and he's okay. Amri bnei Reb Chiya. So they explained. Fine. What happens when we have a drusa, an animal that was clawed, that was attacked? Shamra b'tzricha bedika, which the chachamim required a bedika to be done on the animal. You have to make a thorough examination to ensure there's no venom, there's no internal damage. How far do you go? Kenege b'nei me'ayin. You have to check opposite the intestines, the whole sort of cavity, the midsection of the animal, to check to see if there's any redness, if there's any markage of the venom, which will eventually trickle all the way into the kishkas, the internals of the animal, and it can, you know, prove lethal. But as Rashi points out, our concern is specifically in that area. But otherwise, if it's elsewhere, along the head, along the neck, that's not sensitive to the point that will be affected, impacted by this venom. Amar Rav Yosef, Hadam Rav Chia, this guideline presented by Rav Chia, Kvar Pesha Shmuel, Shmuel already told us about this. Amar Shmuel, Meshom Chanina, Ben Tignes, Drusa, Shamra Tzucha B'dika, the B'dika that's required, the examination that we do to a Drusa, Kanag B'nei Miyayim, is against the B'nei Miyayim area to ensure it's free of any injury. Boyelfa. What about the tubes, which are certainly very vital, right? The Kana, the Veshet, Yesh Drusa L'simanim, Yesh Drusa L'simanim. If the Drusa happened in that area, if he was caught around the neck area, is that an issue or not? Amar Zera, how about Ilfa? This question that posed by Ilfa, oh, Kvar Pishur of Chanan Bar Rava, he already explained Amar Chanan Bar Rava, Amar Arav, Drusa She'amra Tzricha B'dika, K'negel Beis HaChol Kulay. The examination has to be along the Beis HaChol, the entire area, but if it was Simonin, including the Simonin area as well, because they could be affected by the clawing as well. By Ilfa. Here's another question from Ilfa. Simanin shenedad lo bekama. A little bit of an unrelated question, unrelated to Drusa, rather relates to Simanin. Simanin got sort of yanked out of their connection, they're sort of severed. Rashi says, ne'ekru b'mekayim es harbi. Okay, so somebody yanked at the kana, at the veshet, and it got sort of disconnected, detached in several areas. Can we do shechita on that animal? Is it a treif or not? It's not an item that was mentioned back in the Mishnah, so is it or not? Amar Rav Zeira, hadu by Ilfa, this question posed by Ilfa had already been clarified earlier, Kvar Pirsha, by Rabba, by Rabbanan, Rabbanan, Shmuel, Siman Shindal, the Beruban. For the most part, they've been yanked out. It's considered a treif. By Rav Ash, Rav Ami, Hamas Masamau. So back to Jerusalem, an animal that was attacked. And Rashi says, it wasn't connected to the chalal, it wasn't opposite, you know, in the cavity of the animal. It was further back in the thigh area. Okay, so that concerns us less. But you see some swelling, infection, right? And it's sort of disintegrating. Hamas masa ma, what happens now? Omer Abzeira. Hadaway Rab Ami, this question posed by Rab Ami, Kfar Persha was already explained and taught by Rab Yehuda. Dom Rabbi Dom Rab, Bedrusa, Achiyadim Basar Kenegib Nemi Ayim. First halach is the symptoms, the telltale signs of a very problematic Drusa animal is when we see redness, Shiyadim Basar, there's redness, there's markage. Kenegib, opposite Nemi Ayim, the intestines, the stomach, that makes it a treif. That's number one. Number two, which relates to what we're talking about now, nismas mesabasar. Suppose there's mismas taking place, there's a disintegration of some other part of the animal due to being attacked and clawed. Royin oisikilu enai. So you're right. There's nowhere for it to travel further. It's not going into a cavity, it's not going into intestines, into internal organs. But nevertheless, we treat it as though that area is gone, as if it's been deleted. So if the thigh is exhibiting this symptom, you have to treat it as though that area has been removed, and can the animal still survive or not? That's what it depends on. Hechidam nismasmes, what exactly is nismasmes? What level is called nismasmes? What level of infection? Amarav hunu yeshua, what a doctor would typically amputate. Kol sharefi gayrday. Mamidal basar chai, a type of skin, a type of flesh, which the doctor would be inclined to remove, gayrday, scrape off, mamidoy, and leave behind al basar chai, the fresh, healthy material behind it. So whatever you would scrape is considered this masmes, and you have to evaluate accordingly. Amar Rav Ashi, Kavinim Rav Kahana, when we were at the yeshiva Rav Kahana, I saw come on Ayid Reya. Somebody brought in this interesting-looking lung. The chiyavu meis yasvila, yasvil shafra. If they perch it, it would sit properly. Yasvil shafra, it would sit unsupported. Fine. But once you pick it up, it falls apart on you. The chiyavu madle, when they would pick it up and move it around, have a talcha, would fall apart. V'nafla tilchi, just disintegrate to pieces. V'tarifna la. We render the animal to be a treifa. Why? Based on what we just said. Rafun Rebbe Yeshua just told us that disintegrating material is considered non-existent. Okay, Rav Nachman Amar. Here comes another halacha. Bekoitz, if an animal was struck by a sharp instrument, a pointy thorn, how deep is an issue? Asher tinok of the chalal. Issue is only if the hole went into the chalal, into the cavity, into the stomach area, and then you know it's good chance that it might have hit a intestines. And Rashi says you can't even tell anymore; it's just a thin hole. That's considered a treif. But bedrusa, if it was attacked, there should be telltale signs. There should be markings. Meshiyad and boser. It's only an issue if the boser has reddened, keneged bnei miyayim in the intestines area. Rav Zvid matni hachi. Rav Zvid had a different version. Bedrusa meshiyad and boser keneged bnei miyayim. But the drusa has to become red in that area. Besimanim. If there was drusa on the simanim per se on the neck area, at yadim usimanim atzmon. Oh, in this case, it's not enough. You see, in contrast to the previous point, that if it's keneged bnei miayim, if that's where the attack took place, if that's where the clawing was noted, it is sufficient to be a problem if there is redness on the basar covering the bnei miayim area, because you know it's going to trickle in and it's going to harm the whole innards of the animal. But by the simanim, Rashi says, simanim akashim, they're more rigid. In eres shulet behen, they're not so susceptible to this venom. So simply infecting the outer coating, the outer layer, the skin around it, wouldn't mean that the eres trickles into the simanim. For it to be a problem, you need achiyadimu simanim atzmam. Unless the simanim themselves are exhibiting redness and markage, then it's a problem. Otherwise, not. Omra papi. Boy, Rabbi Barabbai, he had a question. We turn to the next one. The veshed nikvasa b'mashu. We learn in the Mishnah that if the veshed, the food pipe, got a little teeny hole, it's a treif. Okay, so drusa asay b'mashu. Correspondingly, if there was a drusa on the veshed, if it was clawed, so even a little teeny, claw would consider it a treif. It's so delicate, so sensitive, even a little teeny. What about kana, the trachea, the kavasa beki isser? We learned that a hole in trachea is only an issue if it's large, big enough like an isser, like a coin. It's less delicate, right? So what about drusase bekama? What is the size of the drusa? How big is that venom mark going to be on the kana to render it a treif? Okay, so he says, Basra de Bayah de Pashta. After he posed the question, he resolved it. Whether a drusa occurred on the Vesha or the Kana, even a little teeny venom, a little teeny mark, makes it a treif. You know why? So even the Kana, whereby getting a hole has to be bigger, but by drusa, even a small injury is enough. Why time? You know why? Here's not just a question of missing material. Zihare. His venom, mikla kali, burns through basil and travels through. So, you know, a little teeny infection considered detrimental and lethal to the animal. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the daf. We discussed birds of prey. They all have the ability to make drusa. We spoke about the shul, the fox, maybe yes, maybe not. A dog does not make drusa. We spoke about the conditions surrounding drusa. It has to be midas, it has to be with his tzipirin, with his hand, mechayim. We had the whole equation regarding the lion with the corral full of shvarim. We discussed safek drusa, whether or not v'chayshesh. We had a story about the birds with Shmuel. And yeah, once we have a drusa on hand, how do we do bedika? Which area do we check? And how far does the venom have to travel? How far, if it's just like a surface venom, if it's connected by miayim, we assume that travels through, and then there's an issue. But by the simanim, it's only an issue if the simanim are visibly affected. And we discussed the shiurim of drisa on the veshet and the kana, both are b'mashu. Okay, all the best to you, and that's Lacharab.